welcome you in the Saviour's name to this live stream of our church service in Armagh Free Presbyterian Church. We want you to know that whatever your background, that we are very happy that you have been able to join with us. And it is our prayer that the service, and especially the message from God's Word, will be a blessing and a help to you. The Free Presbyterian Church in the city of Armagh commenced in the late summer of 1965, when Dr. Ian Paisley held a great tent mission on Stuart's Hill, at which over 100 souls were converted to Christ. Our church building sits on an elevated site behind the old women's prison overlooking the city, and it was officially opened by Dr. Paisley on Saturday, the 4th of January, 1975. The building is a unique design and is built on two levels to take advantage of the sloping site. The church is constructed in brick with round corners. It has a freestanding portal frame and stained glass windows which encircle almost the entire building. In recent years, the church facilities and some of the grounds have been completely refurbished. Please make the live streams of our church services as widely known as possible among your family and friends. We would also ask you to like our church and our broadcasts on our Facebook page. Video recordings of the messages from our services can be found on Sermon Audio, Facebook, and YouTube. We want to give you a warm invitation to come along and join with us at our church services. We are a family church and a church family, and we would be very pleased if in the future you made our church the spiritual home for your family. Very glad to see each one along at the Lord's house for public worship this Sabbath morning. It's a beautiful Lord's Day morning. We thank the Lord for it. We're glad to see all that have been able to gather with us today. We're going to stand in a moment or two to sing the words of our opening hymn. It's the hymn 555, "When Israel out of bondage came, a sea before them lay, and the Lord reached down his mighty hand, and he rolled the sea away." Think of the words of the chorus, especially forward still it is Jehovah's will. So hymn 555, and we're going to stand as we sing Place. Let's just bow together before the Lord in prayer. Father, we still ourselves in thy house and in thy presence. We want to pray from the very beginning of our meeting that we'll know the Lord is present with us, that we'll know the Lord is in his house. We do thank you, Father, for enabling us to be here today. Thank you for this lovely Sabbath morning. And we praise thee for the gathering together of your people. We do thank you, Father, that we're able to be in thy house. Forgive us for the times we have taken that blessing, that privilege for granted. We're glad that we can meet today with your people. And we ask, Father, make us each a channel of blessing, the one to the other. We pray that you'll use us in thy house today. We want to pray that you'll come and speak to us. We have come, Father, to hear your voice. We have come that we might receive a word, a message, direct from thyself. Remember the prayer of Samuel. We claim it as our own today. We would say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Speak to all of us. Speak, Father, from the youngest right up to the very oldest, each one of us in between. Speak to us very clearly, Father. Leave us in no doubt that you're the one that is ministering, you're the one that is talking to us. We pray that you'll speak powerfully, and Lord, our prayer would be that you'll give us the grace that is needed to obey the blessed word of God. We ask that you'll save us from being such Christians that are hearers only and not doers of your blessed word. We do remember every department of the church. And Lord, we thank you for circumstances that have enabled us to commence again the Bright Hours, the Youth Fellowship, the Sunday School, the Bible classes. We do give thee praise for that. We want to pray for the well-being of each one that gathers. Pray, Father, keep each person that comes to all our services, all our meetings, in health and strength. We commit ourselves to thee. Pray that you'll watch over the children. We pray that you'll bless them. And we thank you for all that gathered in your house throughout this past week. Thank you for the Sunday school and Bible classes this morning already, for the going forth of your word. We rejoice, Father, in the encouragement that is given to us in the scriptures, that these little ones are able to believe on thee, that at a young age they're able to come to faith in Christ, to trust him as their Saviour. And we ask thee, Lord, to bless the labours of all our leaders and all our workers. We ask thee to encourage their hearts in these very challenging, very difficult days. We pray that you'll give them much fruit for their labours. Our prayer, Father, would be that you'll answer their prayers. We ask thee to hear their cries. We pray that you'll use them in the winning of souls, that you'll bless them in their own families, that they'll see every member of their own family brought to Christ. Lord, we would ask today earnestly, we lift our hearts to thee and pray you'll give all our families, household salvation. Lord, we pray that none of our children, none of our grandchildren, none of our relatives would be found out of Christ. Lord, our desire would be that they'll all be with us on that great day when we stand before the Lord, that when the roll is called up yonder, that every one of them might be there. We ask thee, Father, to hear our earnest cries even to that end. We ask thee to bless this Sabbath day. Let it be a day owned of God. Let it be a day set apart. We pray, Father, it will be a day that has the very definite blessing of God, the singular blessing of God resting upon it, especially, Father, in the saving of souls. Help us amidst all the challenges of the day in which we live, amidst even all the evil of the day in which we live, amidst all the difficulties, the trials, Lord, help us never to lose sight of that great work of winning others for Christ. We pray that the burden, the vision will not diminish in our hearts. We pray the burden will increase. We pray that you'll enable us, Father, to be used as fishers of men. Remember the great call of Christ that goes forth even to all our hearts, even yet today. Follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men. And Lord, we pray that you'll lay that burden upon our hearts. And we ask thee, Father, make us all like Barnabas. The word of God says that much people was added unto the Lord, even through his life and through his ministry. So we're praying, Father, you'll abide with us. Come down now upon the meeting. May the Spirit descend. May the Spirit guide. We pray that he'll open up the book, that he'll shine upon its pages. We pray that we'll know the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Even as we think of the week that lies ahead, Father, and all the demands of that week, and even all the uncertainty of it, your word reminds us we don't know what a day will bring, let alone what a week will hold. So we're praying, Father, come and give us the strength, the power that is needed to live clearly for thee, to live a life that's faithful, to live a life, Father, and have a testimony that stands out and speaks clearly for the Saviour. So hear these, our prayers and cries. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning, please, to read in the Scriptures. It's the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Great resurrection chapter of the Bible. 15th chapter of the first book of Corinthians. It's the Acts, Romans, and then 1 Corinthians. near the end of the book. There's 16 chapters in total. We're in the 15th of those chapters. And we're going to read at the end. It's quite a lengthy chapter, 58 verses in all. We're beginning to read at verse 51. These are words that we often read at funeral services, especially at the graveside, how appropriate they are for such a time. But let's read from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Remember the word behold that's there? That's like a stop sign. The Lord wants to get our attention. Sometimes we're in too big of a hurry when we're reading the Bible, so we need to slow down and consider, to meditate, is how the Bible describes it. So these are things the Lord wants us to consider very carefully. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. So just closing the reading there, the end of that 58th verse, right at the end of the chapter, and we know the Lord will add his blessing today to this, the public reading of his word. We take a moment just to welcome all that are gathered. We appreciate your presence. Thank you for coming along to the Lord's house to morning worship. Pray you'll know the Lord with us and that you'll hear the Lord's voice. And we pray the Lord will bless just our coming together. We're glad to see the children, the young people. We appreciate your presence. It was nice to see all that were gathered in Sunday school this morning. We appreciate you coming along, and everyone behaved so well, listened so attentively to the message, the story, as it went forth. Remember, please, the meeting tonight, the gospel service here in the church building, 6:30. I hope to be here to preach at that meeting myself. The theme in the gospel tonight will be a Libyan liberated, the most famous Libyan in all of history. We'll consider just a little of what the Bible says of his salvation. So I encourage you to come. We'd be glad of your presence tonight. Remember the activities in the incoming week, Tuesday night, 6:45, both bright hours here in the church and also down in the band hall in Killalea. Wednesday night is the midweek service. In the will of the Lord, I'll be here to both lead that meeting and preach, conduct the service myself. 8 p.m. on Friday night is the youth fellowship, and our brother Mr. David Bale, who has such a love and heart for the young people, David will be leading and speaking at the meeting on Friday night. So I want to encourage as many of the young people of the church to come along on Friday night at 8 o'clock to hear our brother and the message that he'll have for you. Next Lord's Day, the 26th of September, the service is at the usual times, 11:30 in the morning, 6:30 in the evening. Remember that the morning meeting will be the Sunday school prize giving. Now, there was no Sunday school last year because of circumstances, but the church committee is going to give a little gift, a little token to all of the boys and girls just to encourage them at this time. We appreciated all that were able to come to church, and all that listened so well to the the children's addresses that were given during that time. So remember that. We'll be singing some choruses together as well. We'll bring a children's address to everyone that is present. So remember that special service next Sunday morning, the Sunday school prize giving. And I hope to be preaching or speaking at both of those meetings myself. Take a look at the literature that's there on the tables. Just to emphasize the magazines, the latest edition of the Vision magazine, the magazine of the denomination, and also the latest edition of the Watching and Waiting magazines are available. The offering taken on Wednesday night past for Andrew and Beulah McMullen as they came to tell and report of their work with CAF, that came to £432. Thank you for giving to that special missionary offering. Remember to see the treasurers. If you weren't able to be there, haven't been able to give as yet, you'd like to make a donation to encourage the McMullens, see the treasurers about that as soon as you can. Just to make you aware that money had been received through this year in lieu of flowers for missionary work. It was following the home calling of three of our very faithful church members, Mrs. Rita McGowan, Mrs. Rena Hutchison, and Mrs. Irene Stringer. The total of all of those donations in lieu of flowers came to £2,875. That was given to the committee to distribute to missionary work. So what the committee did at their meeting earlier in the week, they rounded the amount up to £3,000, and it has been divided evenly between the gardeners, the Halls, and her sister, Miss Joy Gillespie, and it has been sent down to the Mission Board office in Kilkeel for their support. So that will be in addition to this year's contributions from the church. Just remind you that the church here, as a congregation, we give £60 per month to each of those three missionaries. We do that from year to year. So that will be in addition, the money that has come in lieu of flowers. So I want to sincerely thank each of these families and all that gave to those donations. Thank you for your thoughtfulness and thank you for your generosity towards the missionary cause of the church. Just some other matters to mention to you. Tomorrow night at 8 is the Whitfield College annual graduation and commencement service. It's going to be held in Bethany, but just to emphasise, it's by invitation only. But it can be watched online, and certainly the presbytery, the college, would appreciate as many as possible watching the service online. That is on Bethany's sermon audio live stream. Tuesday night at 8 in the Tanragee Church is the special retirement service for her sister, Miss Margaret Russell, after 38 years of service, missionary service to the land of Kenya. You are welcome to attend that service. There will be seating in the church, in the hall, and some other rooms in the facilities that the Tanragee Church has. There are guidelines for those that are attending that service. We did put those guidelines up on the church Facebook page. Remember that social distancing will be observed. You must wear a mask going in and out of the service. The stewards there will seat everyone, guide you to your seat. So please remember all of those things. Take a little look at those guidelines if you plan to attend the service. And the Reverend John Greer has been invited to be the preacher. This incoming week, the Balmoral Show will take place from Wednesday through to Saturday. The denomination is having an outreach stand. That can be found at EK9 at the show. So just to make you aware of that, if you can, pay them a visit. And especially pray for the Lord's blessing upon the work that will be done, the people that will be spoken to, and the gospel literature that will be given out. The Macrofelt Youth Fellowship is holding an online gospel mission during this incoming week, Monday through to Friday. The meetings will be broadcast. It's broadcast on Facebook and sermon audio each night at 8 o'clock. The meetings will run for just about half an hour. They had planned to have a gospel mission in one of the buildings in Macrofelt, but because of the coronavirus, the restrictions and so forth, that wasn't possible. They're still hoping to do that next year in the will of the Lord. So they thought about it and decided that they would do the meetings online. The Reverend Paul Foster and myself are doing the preaching. All of the messages have been pre-recorded. I was down in Macrofelt this week and preached all three messages in the one afternoon. So some of their own young people are taking part, testifying, singing as well. So please make those special gospel meetings as widely known as possible. Watch them yourself if you can, and pray for the Lord's blessing to be upon them. The Missionary Council hopes to hold their annual weekend between the 19th and the 21st of November. That'll be in the Mackerboy House Hotel in Portrush. There's leaflets at both doors there that give you all the details, the cost and so forth. And the leaflet also contains an application form. If you'd like to go, fill that in and send it off as soon as possible. Just to make you aware that by law, churches are now required to have a data protection policy. The data protection policy is to govern how we handle personal data that we hold for all members of the congregation. So the presbytery has approved documents to help the local churches implement the policy for their congregation. And we're now implementing that policy here in the church in Armagh. Many of you will be familiar with data protection policies in school and in your places of employment. But just to emphasize to you that there are some forms that everyone will receive. Some of you have received those already. But for those that haven't, they'll be given to you as you leave the services today, especially this morning. The forms will contain all the details that you need to know. There's also a privacy notice for you to fill out, your name, your address, sign that and return. There are family packs for those that have children. Just to emphasise, especially if you have any children between the ages of 13 and 18, please speak to our brother, Mr. Billy McCrum. Just to emphasise, we want to thank Billy on behalf of the congregation for all the time and work that he has put into preparing these documents and looking after this vital matter for us. Billy worked with data protection in his secular employment, and we do really appreciate, as a session and committee, him using his experience just to help us implement the policy here in the congregation. So do speak to Billy if you need any help or if you have any queries, and we would appreciate your help just in implementing the data protection policy in the congregation here. Just some folk to highlight to you, especially for your prayers. Remember, our brother and sister Wallace and Lily both have taken the coronavirus. Pray for the Lord's healing and strengthening hand to be upon them. Mrs. Mary Gillespie is still in hospital, so pray the Lord will guide just the doctors there in everything relation to her sister. The Reverend Gary Goods, who was seriously ill in hospital with the coronavirus, he was in hospital for the most of 3 weeks. Our brother got home from hospital on Friday. We're very thankful for that. He's still a good way to go in his recovery. The family are thankful to the congregations for their prayers. So do continue to remember our brother. Miss Joyce Walsh had surgery yesterday on her knee. She hopes to get home tomorrow. She'll not be able to drive for at least 6 weeks. Remember, Joyce, pray the Lord's hand of healing will be upon her sister, that she'll have a speedy recovery from the surgery. Just some changes that have taken place as well in our congregations, things that have taken place over the summer. Some of them have come to pass just in recent weeks. The Reverend Patrick Baker, who was in London, has taken up the work in our Newton Ards congregation just a couple of weeks ago. Pray for him there, the work in London and the vacancy. Remember, too, the Reverend Timothy Nelson was installed in the Tyndale Church, started his ministry there last Lord's Day. Remember, he was formerly in Ballinahinch. And the Reverend Raymond Morrow from the Auchnacloy Church, one of the licentiates, he commences his ministry today in the Bush Mills congregation. So remember him as well. And finally, just the Reverend Malcolm Patterson, missionary to Kenya. Our brother's mother passed away, and her funeral service, God willing, will be tomorrow. They were faithful members of the OMA congregation for many years. So we want to sympathise with Malcolm and Alison and the family circle. They're due to go back to Kenya in the will of the Lord next month, if everything works out. There is a special retirement service that's being arranged for them for Tuesday night, the 12th of October, and that'll be down in the Cold Rain congregation. So there's a lot of things taking place, a lot of folk to remember. We commend all of them to you for your prayers at this time, please. We're going to sing another hymn together, 510, How I Praise Thee, Precious Saviour, that Thy love laid hold of me, Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might Thy channel be. 510, and again we'll stand as we sing, please. Let's just bow together in prayer. Gracious Father, we approach the mercy seat where Jesus answers prayer. Thank you for that great encouragement. Call on to me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We ask, Father, that thou will prosper the work of God here in this place. Bless and prosper all our labours. We ask thee, Father, to remember those that are unwell at this time. Remember our dear brother and sister Wallace and Lily. May they know your presence. May they experience a definite strengthening and healing touch. May your hand be upon them for good. Remember Mrs. Gillespie. We ask thee to be near to her sister there in the hospital. May she be conscious of the presence of the Lord. Guide the doctors. Support the family too, Father, just at this time of concern for them. Pray that they'll know wisdom from on high. We ask you to remember the Reverend Patterson and his family at this time of bereavement. Lord, be near to them. We ask you to comfort their hearts. Remember Sister Joyce. Thank you for bringing her safely through the surgery yesterday. Lord, give her a speedy recovery. We thank you too for being merciful to our brother, the Reverend Goods. We thank you, Father, for raising our brother up again, enabling him to return home. We commit him to thee as well, and we pray that you'll bless the congregation at Randallstown, guide them and give them help and wisdom even in these days. Lord, we ask thee to remember our presbytery, the moderator, the officers. We're conscious of the care of all the churches that rest upon them, how they need the help and the direction of God. Encourage their hearts. And Lord, do remember our young people too at this time. Want to pray for them. We think of those that are moving into new classes, some going to university, some going on to places of employment. Lord, we pray for your hand to be upon our young people. We ask thee to guide them every day. Keep them in the place where you want them to be. We pray that you'll use our young people, bless them mightily in their walk with God. So, Father, hear these our prayers and our cries. And especially now, draw near. We need help in the ministry of thy word. And Lord, we want to just pray that you'll guide us through the message. And we pray that you'll open up the book of God to us. Answer these our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and the verse 58 is our text today. 1 Corinthians 15, the final verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. So the words there especially, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The theme that we're going to speak upon this morning for a little while is going a little further, and especially going a little further for the Lord. I want to encourage you, want to bring a challenge to all of your hearts as the new season starts, and we're thankful to the Lord that we're at this place, that we're able to open up again many of the activities of the church. We pray the Lord will keep his hand upon us for good. But as we're commencing a new season, looking out into the weeks and months ahead, I want to bring a challenge to your hearts today. The Bible says, remember the great command that the Lord gave to Moses, the children of Israel at the Red Sea, that we're to go forward. And I want you to think about that. Think of your own life. Is that true of you? Has that been true of you over the last months, last year and a half or so? Are you going forward with God? Going forward in your walk with the Lord? Well, here, brethren and sisters, in this text is the next stage. It's going further. Going further with the Lord. Going further with him than you've ever done before in all the years that have been passed. And I want to encourage you to do that. I want to bring that challenge, that word of encouragement to every Christian here to go a little further with the Lord in all your efforts for him. Remember what the Bible says of the Lord Jesus in Gethsemane. It's a very challenging little statement. He went a little further. So there's the great example of Christ, our Savior. He went, think of how far he went in his love and in his sacrifice for us. He went a little further. And the question for us is, will you do the same? And you think of what he has done for you, will you do the same for him? Just go a little further. That word abound that's in our text, where it says always abounding, that is the idea of going further. It is the idea of going beyond where you've been before in the Christian life. Do you ever think about that? Going beyond. Sometimes we're saved and stuck. Sometimes we get settled where we are. But the exhortation, the challenge of the Word of God is always to abound, always to go a little further. We're not to be at ease. We're not to slack off. We're not to stand still. We're always to be seeking to go further for the Lord. Let me give you some examples of how that word is translated in other places, in other verses in the Bible. It's always very profitable to do that, to take a word and see the different ways that that word has been translated. It helps to give us a further depth of meaning and understanding of it. Remember the Savior in his great Sermon on the Mount? He said, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed," note the word there, "shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees." That word that is translated there, exceed, it's exactly the same word that we have here in our text, abound. So what the Lord is exhorting, what the Lord is asking you to do for him, is he wants you to exceed. He wants your efforts for him this year, in the future, to exceed anything that you've ever done for him before. I wonder, are you willing for that? Remember too the feeding of the 5,000, very well-known story in the Word of God. In connection with that story, we're told, "Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten." And those words, "over and above," which had remained over and above unto them that had eaten, again, that's the same word that we have here. It's the same word in the original that's translated in our text, abound. So it's very clear, brethren and sisters, the Lord is looking for us as his people to go further with him. He's looking for us to labor for him over and above anything that we've ever done before. So here's the challenge of the Word of God. At the commencement of this new season, this winter's work, with all the possibilities, all the potential that it holds for us in the work of the gospel, the Lord wants us to go a little farther. And I want to point out to you, just quickly, some important areas of church life where the Lord would want us to go a little further for him. Think first of all of the matter of attending the meetings. The New Testament's clear. It says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So it's clear from what Paul's saying there to the Hebrews, some people had become careless. They had forsaken the assembling of themselves together. But you know what is happening today. Church attendance is declining. Church attendance is waning. Can I ask the question, could that be true of some here? Maybe you've forsaken the house of God, forsaken some of the meetings. Not as good an attender as you once were, as you used to be. Now, I'm conscious, very conscious of the pandemic we're passing through, the concerns, those that are being cautious, those that are being careful. It's also true there are some that are taking advantage of these circumstances to be careless as far as the things of God are concerned as well. I know that people get ill, people get old, circumstances change, children are born into the home and all the challenges that that can bring. Those are not the things that we're thinking of. It's those who are careless about the house of God attendance. Those that could be there, but they're not present at the meetings. Do you remember the man that prepared the great supper? The Bible says he invited many. The Savior, in telling the story, says that they all with one consent began to make excuse. And the Lord's people are so often like that. Maybe that's true of you, full of excuses, too busy, too tired, and so forth. You think of the sports, think of that whole area of sports and attending sports activities. There are what are known as season ticket holders. The idea of being a season ticket holder is you don't intend to miss a match. It's not right. You go to the trouble and the expense of buying a season ticket. That means you intend to be there every time. You intend to be there at every game, at every match. Can I ask, brethren and sisters, do we have the same zeal as the Lord's people for attending the Lord's house, attending the services? Could you be described as a season ticket holder? If you think of the question, why do we come? Why do we come to the Lord's house? What's your desire, motive in being here today? Remember, it's not to hear the gossip. It's not to show off the latest fashions. It's not to be entertained. Those are all carnal reasons for being at the house of God. Remember, never forget, we're here to meet with Him. We come here to meet with the Lord. We come here to commune with our God. And if that's your desire, if that's your motive, then you will want to be here. That will be the longing of your heart. You will want to be in His house. You'll want to be in His presence. You'll want to hear the voice of God. You'll want to hear those things that the Lord has to say to you. Think of your attendance at specific meetings. There's a number that could be mentioned, but I'll emphasize it, especially the prayer meeting. Just consider the question, do you attend the prayer meetings of the church? Have you ever, in all the years you've come along to the house of God here, have you ever attended the prayer meetings? The Savior said during His earthly ministry, men ought always to pray, always. Doesn't matter what the circumstances, the situation, here's something that's vital. We ought always to pray and not to faint. But yet some do faint. Maybe some of you have fainted in the place of prayer. You don't give the time to it that you should, that maybe once you did. Maybe you don't pray at home any longer. You don't have time, so busy. You don't have time every day for the quiet time when God speaks to you and then in return you speak to Him. You don't come any longer to the prayer meetings as you used to. You did once, maybe faithful, but that's not the case anymore. That attendance has lapsed. And if that's the case, how sad that is, and that's a cause for concern. It ought to be a cause for concern in your heart, in your life as well. Do you remember Acts chapter 12? The great prayer meeting when Peter was in prison. It actually tells us there something very striking. James was the leader of the church at that time. But James was absent. James wasn't present at the prayer meeting. It's not quite enlightening. Quite sad too. I wonder, brethren and sisters, is that the same of you? Is that the same record that God has to keep? Remember, the Lord wrote that into the book. for all time, for us all to read. James missed the prayer meeting. The Lord keeps a record of those things. Is that true of you absent on prayer meeting night? I want to urge you tonight, earnestly, tenderly. I want to urge you to attend the prayer meetings. See to it that at least one member of your family, I appreciate, particularly with younger families, not everyone can always come, but do your best to see to it that your family is at least represented at the Wednesday night prayer meeting here in the house of God. So encourage you how vital it is, brethren and sisters, in these days in which we live, when the cause of God is under attack, we need to go a little farther in our attending. Can I mention too, going a little farther in your giving, can I point out what the Bible teaches? That is, your income increases, so should your giving to the work of God. There should be that natural progression. I know that that's difficult, sometimes hard to part with the cash. It was John Wesley that said that the last thing for many Christians to be sanctified is the wallet. It can be difficult, but remember, it's what the Bible teaches. Think of what Paul said to the Corinthians on the first day of the week. Remember, that's the Christian Sabbath, the day that we're meeting on. The Sabbath under the Old Testament was the seventh day. It's now the first day. So on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. What those words mean is, the more that God prospers you financially, materially, then the more that you should give, the more you should give to the church and to the cause of the gospel. If your income increases, well, your giving shouldn't remain the same. You're to give as God has prospered you. Remember the warning of the Bible with regard to money. It's good to re-emphasize it to our hearts today. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's impossible, brethren and sisters. So there's a clear warning there. But you think of this. You can serve God with your mammon. It's possible to serve God with your money, with your wealth. I wonder, do you ever think of that? Using your money, using your finances to serve the Lord. Many have done that. Remember what Paul said to the Philippians? Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Do you ever notice those words before? Fruit that may abound to your account. God has an account. God keeps a record of all of your giving. He puts it down. So ask yourself, as you think about that, how much is in that account? How much has God recorded there next to your name with regard to your giving to the work of God and the cause of the gospel? You just think of your own giving. And that's enough just to keep any of us occupied. Think of your own giving. And ask, did you ever consider going a little further? Exceeding a little in your giving to the work of God. Increasing your donations. Increasing your giving to the church and the cause of the gospel. Dr. Frank McClelland, some of you will remember when Dr. McClelland ministered in the neighbouring church here of Tandragee before going out to Toronto in Canada. Dr. McClelland, a number of years ago, started to add to the tithe. Remember, the tithe is 10% of your income given to the work of God. Every year he added a percent. So one year was 11, next year it was 12, next year it was 13, and so on. Going a little farther in your giving to the work of God. Some of you might be familiar with the name of Rick Warren, the pastor of the Saddleback Church out there in California, very well known. We may not agree with everything that Pastor Warren teaches and does, but he's made a lot of money from selling of his books. Maybe you've read some of his books, have them in your possession. What he started to do was what is known as reverse tithing. You ever heard of that? That means giving away 90% of your income and just living on 10%. Not everyone, of course, is in the position to do that, but it's an example, another example of going further, going a little farther in your giving to the work of God. Think of what Paul said about the Corinthians. He says, they gave beyond their power. Not an interesting statement. In fact, it's a very challenging statement. In other words, they gave sacrificially. Those Corinthian believers, they gave more to the work of God, to the help and support of others, than they could really afford to give. They were people that gave until it hurt them to give. But they went a little further in their support of the cause of God. The widow in the temple, we're told that she, of her want, it's not an interesting statement, her want. She had many needs. She had great needs. But even with all the challenges of her own needs, it says that she did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So everything that she was receiving, her entire income, when she went to the house of God to worship, she gave it all. I gave it all to God. She really couldn't have gone any further than what she did. She gave everything to him. So here, brethren and sisters, as examples of people who went further in their giving. And I encourage you to prayerfully consider it. I encourage you to do the same in your own life, even in days to come. Remember that the scriptures teach, I stress it to you, the scriptures teach in the book of Malachi, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. There is a connection there between the Old and New Testaments, that verse that we emphasized earlier, the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. And Malachi says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. So it's a very clear connection there between the two. The giving in the New Testament is to be the same as the Old. The scriptures stress the giving of the tithe. And remember, the tithe is not the maximum that you're to give. That's sometimes how it's viewed. That's the maximum. In fact, it could be said the tithe is the minimum. The tithe is the least. You can give more. You should give more. There's no barrier, no restriction, no upper limit, no ceiling on the amount. Because remember, the Bible teaches and it speaks of tithes and offerings. So the offerings that you give are in addition. They exceed. They're going further than the tithing. Tithes and offerings. The Bible also speaks about the first fruits, giving of the first fruits. Honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of all your giving. So the first fruits, if you get a little pay increase, that's like the first fruits, or when the harvest has been gathered, and that's where it's connected to. They gave the first fruits of the harvest to God. And the Lord wants us to follow that principle, that example as well. So it's clear. The scriptures, in many places, encourage us to go further, to abound in our giving to God and his work. The other area just will mention, relevant in the light of the time of year, all that's happening in the church, going a little further in our working. The text says, if you notice the words, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So think of those words, in the work. And as you consider that verse, I want you to ask yourself the question, is it true of you? Are you in the work? Are you in the work of God? Are you involved in some activity, some outreach of the church? The sad fact is many Christians are not in the work. They're not workers. Some could be described as spectators, just watching on. Some are shirkers. They tell you of what they have done in the community, or in the lodge, or in the schools, in politics, in business, But they can't tell you what they've done for Christ, what they've done in the cause of the gospel. Often the reason for that is they have done little, if anything. Remember what the Savior, he told the story. Maybe the Savior would have to say of many in the Church of Christ today, maybe say of some in the meeting this morning, "Why stand ye here all the day idle?" Does that sum you up? The life you've lived, maybe in recent years, idle. So much to be done. The harvest is plenteous. But you just sit back and watch a few people, the labourers that are few, you watch a few people struggling to try to carry on the work of God, the cause of the gospel. You stand all the day idle. Remember in Nehemiah chapter 3, it says that next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles, here's the leaders that should have been setting the example, their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. There were those labouring diligently, putting their all into the work, and then there were others that didn't do a thing, others that didn't do anything. You know, sometimes it's summed up, there are three types of Christians in every church. There's the constructionists. They're the ones that's doing a work. They're building up or seeking to build up the work of God. And then there's obstructionists. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter what you suggest. Doesn't matter what you want to do. They always oppose it. They're always against it. And then there's some people who are just destructionists, that they seek to pull down what others sought to build up sacrificially, earnestly, through a lot of hard work, sought to build up. So the question, as you think of that variation, which are you? Which of those three categories do you fall into? You hear regularly in the news about the unemployed, that the government will announce the unemployment figures. You know, sadly, the same is true of the church, of every local congregation, the same is true. There are many Christians that are unemployed. Every local church has unemployment figures, because there's Christians in every church that are not doing anything, doing no work, doing no job for the Lord. Can I ask you, are you in the unemployment figures of Armagh Free Presbyterian Church? Will you spend another year, another season's work, another winter's work in the ranks of the unemployed? God forbid that that'll be the case. You think of the day of judgment. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. What will the Lord say to you on that day? Will he say, "Well done, good, faithful servant"? Or will he have to say, "Thou wicked and slothful servant"? So I want you to think of the question. What are you doing? What are you doing for the Lord? Mr. Moody, if you read his life, he asked his friend was called J.V. Farwell. He asked him the pointed question one day, "What are you personally doing for the Lord?" That's a good question for us all to consider today. You know what Farwell had to say? Nothing. That was the answer he gave. So Moody invited him to the Sunday school. And after a bit of time, he made him the superintendent of the Sunday school. Moody got him into the work. He got him to that place where he was doing a work, labouring for the Lord. So let me ask you again, what are you doing? What are you doing for the Lord? As you think of the work that's to be done, all the work that needs to be done in this place, as you think of the labourers that are required, let me urge you, brethren and sisters, let me urge you all today in the Lord's name to abound in the work, to abound in the work of the gospel, to go a little farther than you've ever done before in your labours.
and in your working for Christ. Let me finish just by stressing a couple of truths. You think of these questions. When should you abound? When should you exceed? When should you labour over and above what you've done before? Well, the text gives the answer. Always. Always abounding. Not just on Sundays. Not just now and again when it suits you, when you take the notion, when you're in the mood. Not at certain times or at a certain age of life. We're to be consistent Christians. Consistent. Always to be abounding in the work of the Lord. And why should you abound in God's work? Well, the text gives you the encouragement. Your labour's not in vain. Take that to heart today. You know, much of what you will do in the secular world and secular, it'll all be in vain. You'll find it'll be a disappointment. Much of it'll be empty and shallow. But here's a truth to encourage your heart today. Everything that you do for Christ, it'll never be in vain. Your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Anything you do for him, it'll not be wasted. Any time you give to Christ, it'll not be lost. So I pray that'll encourage your hearts today into the work and to do more in the work than you've ever done in the past. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, remember, exceeding, over and above, going beyond, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Going a little further for Christ. May that be the mark of all of our lives. We'll sing a verse or two, 523, as we finish. 523, work for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work when the day grows brighter under the glowing sun. Work for the night is coming when man's work is done. Just the first two verses, please. Verses 1 and 2, 5, 2, 3, and we'll stand as we sing. Let's just pray together as we close. Father, we pray that you'll bless your word. We thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for your speaking voice. We pray, Father, that you'll write this text upon all of our hearts. We pray for your grace and power. We're conscious we cannot do it of ourselves. But help us, Father, always to be abounding in the work of the Lord. Save us from being distracted. Deliver us from being diverted. We pray, Father, that you'll help us to give our days, whatever days you give to us, help us to give them to thee
to the work of God, to the preaching of Christ, to the winning of souls. And Lord, we recognise we need thee to be with us. Those that went down to Antioch, the hand of the Lord was with them, and much people believed. So we're pleading, Father, reach down and put your hand upon our lives. Put your hand upon this church and every witness, every outreach, every activity of it. And Lord, give us a fruitful season. So look out into the weeks and months ahead. Go with us and bless us mightily in all we do for Christ. Abide with us through the day. Bless our fellowship together. Remember the service tonight. Come down, Father, in mighty power upon the preaching of the gospel. And come, Father, into this house in the saving of the lost today, we pray. Now part us in thy fear with thy favour. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit the Comforter rest upon each one, we pray, in Jesus' name.